AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Today I'm with Ope and Namdi. Namdi should be joining us a little bit later. But yeah, it's been an interesting week for the football lovers. It was Champions League week for those with the Champions League, yeah.
it wasn't that exciting for some other folks, but
it's okay. I don't mind. I know they didn't for Champions League, so why am I there?
Yeah. So let's start with the actually let's start by doing this. Let's pick our most interesting or favorite UCL moment for this week. I think I'll go first. My favorite UCL moment this week was Gyökeres scoring his first goal, and you could tell how nervous he was in doing that celebration. That was a very funny and low-key cringe moment for me, because that was probably one of the ugliest goals I've ever seen. I'm pretty sure he actually meant to pass the ball, but somehow he ended up in the net. And the guy just like, you could tell like, he was like, should I not do it? And he kind of does the most awkward Gyökeres celebration. That was my favorite moment.
I think my favorite moment is UCL this past week. Yeah, most likely Arsenal, but I would say the goal that excited me the most was the one where Gyökeres and Gabriel did their mask and no mask celebration. I thought that was very cool.
That was a cool moment.
The fact that they are bringing the guy onto the team. Because, yeah, like you said, Omo, the guy looks mad nervous. And I feel like he just needs to calm down. Like, even when he's playing, you can see, like, he just seems so tense, and it's like, guy, you are scoring. Like, I get, yeah, there's big pressure on his head, but I hope, like, after this, at least, because it seems like the fans were chanting his name when he was leaving, so it seems like he's getting back to his old self. So, well, I'm excited to see more of that.
Now, what about you? Favorite UCL moment?
It's always what any of Haaland's goals, you know?
Any of Haaland's goals? It's
a weekly occurrence. I mean, outside of Haaland, I would say the person that kind of excited me was this Bayern boy. That a teenager, that 17-year-old.
Yeah, what's his name again? Yeah, I saw him.
I don't know. I just saw him.
I think it's Carl.
This guy now a baller for real.
Yeah, he's a baller. His goal was...
I was really impressed. I was really impressed. I mean, the opponent was weak. They didn't even feel like two of them should have been playing each other, but
yeah, that was a nice one.
He still did well.
That was a very impressive goal. I think that's probably the youngest Champions League scorer now. I'm not sure, I have to look that up.
I don't know, man.
I heard something like that. It's probably this season.
I mean, Estavao two score now, so not all of them, they're young.
Estavao's like 18, isn't he? I'm not sure. But yeah. So we can go to talking about Estevao, Chelsea 5, Ajax 1. You're talking about people that are not meant to play each other. Ajax, Chelsea.
I watched that game. It wasn't really impressive, to be honest.
From Chelsea's part or Ajax's part?
Definitely not Ajax. But like from Chelsea, like, it just won. Ajax had record. 2, Chelsea didn't really seem like they were really dominating. It just, you know, okay, somehow goals were just coming in. You like, if I was a Chelsea fan, of course I'd be happy, for sure. But like, as there's that, if I'm trying to evaluate where my team stands, I wouldn't use that as an evaluation point.
That's a good point.
I think that's fair. That game, I didn't watch the full game because obviously I was watching Arsenal's game. I think, yeah, I agree with that. So it didn't seem like Chelsea was dominating the game, even though the scoreline looked very massive. But that could be also Chelsea's style of play.
Yeah, I think it's Chelsea Forest now.
Yeah, you see them do that a lot. Even for the Champions League game, that their big, massive win against PSG. You saw that their play style, they pass the ball and give it straight to PSG and they're like attack us. So that style of play, it could be their thing, that's Maresca ball. I've not really I don't I'm not a Chelsea fan to really highlight what true Maresca ball should look like, but
They actually try to dominate. I don't think they just don't play well all the time. The matches they play well, you can see them string passes together. That Ajax game, honestly, Ajax are terrible. They are terrible. First of all, they kept giving penalties away. And then, I wouldn't say some of the goals are deflections, red cards, penalties. But yeah, I agree with you, Nnamdi and Ope. I wouldn't say this is a game to say, oh yeah, this shows you that Chelsea will be like, doing big things toward the end of the season. It was just like, yeah, they should have, they deserve to win because Ajax are terrible. I would say it's more about Ajax being terrible than Chelsea being like crazy good in that specific game. And yeah, some of those PKs are definitely PKs. Bruh.
Yeah, there were like three PKs in that game.
Terrible
That
performance.
referee had mine, Sha.
But yeah, I don't think there's much to say about that game, to be honest. I know Sam will probably cringe. Sam will vex me. But
I
his fault.
mean,
Should
to
that be
be
here?
fair, Sha, what is more important, playing nice or winning well?
No, we.
Yeah, winning is more important.
Yeah,
So
winning for sure.
we got to give them their props, and the scoreline was not a pretty one. So
Yeah,
yeah.
see, Ajax never stood a chance against world champions, so it's not like in the normal levels. Honestly, let's go to Madrid versus Juve. I think that game was pretty to be more interesting because I'm not really, like, I don't really know how good Madrid actually is. Like, I don't understand. Vinicius was amazing yesterday.
I mean, Juve tried, but I feel like a lot of their shots were from far, like from outside the box. And first of all, niggas Courtois, like you have to be, your soul has to, you have to be like, to beat Courtois is almost impossible. Like, so what are we talking about here? Yeah, shooting from outside the box against Courtois. Like, I'm not saying you can't score him like that because anybody can score, but that's not a game plan.
Yeah, I don't know. But
Yeah, I agree with you. Like in terms of calling Courtois, I think people sometimes underestimate like the influence of goalkeepers in teams.
for sure.
And Courtois is like a great example. I would say Donnarumma also, but let me not divert the topic. But yeah, Courtois in Madrid, sheesh, that guy is catching everything. Yeah, we're about to talk that, oh, Madrid is not playing the best, or maybe they might not look their best. But honestly, I watched part of that game. I think they played well. Like, yeah, maybe their game plan was not up to the best, but you can see, like, Vini and Mbappe
Yeah, Vini
are
and
starting
Mbappe.
to work. They're starting to work together well. Bellingham coming into the team. Bellingham was looking like himself again, like coming back from injury. He wasn't looking too shabby, and he scored a goal. And then even at that Gula, like, bro, that boy is looking like he's buzzing too. So, I think in general, like, they are strong contenders. Even though they might not look the prettiest, any game that you put them in, as long as Courtois is not having a bad game, he's having a decent game, and Mbappe and Vini are having decent games, bro, you're in trouble, bro.
It doesn't even mix with Papi and Vinny. It doesn't mix one of them.
One of them, literally.
Okay.
So that keeper is still a very big. It makes a big difference, man.
Yeah, but Juve on the other hand, they missed some very good chances just before Madrid scored. I know like Vlahovic should have scored, but of course Courtois was.
That chance about which, yeah, he could have scored this, but man, it wasn't.
He scores it. We're having a different conversation. But like, I
Yeah.
agree, Courtois, I can't just say iffy because he didn't score it because Courtois did Courtois things. But like, I think Madrid's defense is still not the best. Who knows? That's why this weekend El Clasico will be very, very interesting because I can look at both teams, go back at Madrid and pick holes in their teams. Very big holes. Even though Barca won the last like four games, like massively outscoring Madrid, I can't see that defense surviving Mbappe and Vini right now, based on how they're going, especially without Inigo Martinez. Even when he was there, like Mbappe would have literally destroyed that defense if he could just hold his line better. So, but anyway, I think I'm jumping the gun to El Clasico. there's not really that Madrid versus Juventus match was pretty much uneventful. A more interesting game I want to talk about actually, Bayern versus Bruges. Guy, now Harry Kane is on drugs. this guy, DM, CM, AM, bro, striker. Like, what are we? As I see, we're seeing Messi.
And it's crazy. He's old.
I think company coaching Harry Kane, or Harry Kane playing for company, whatever you want to put it, is one of like the best things that could have probably happened for his career, I think. Because Kompany seems like a very progressive manager, and it seems like that kind of manager that he would try those kind of things. Like, you see what Ole said, the way he's giving Ole said the free reign to just carry the ball or whatever. It's the same thing with Kane. He knows how to let players do what they are best at. And I think, that's why I think that partnership with Kane and seeing what Kane is doing, it will be tough for Ballon d'Or this season. I'm excited to see.
Very, very tough.
It looks like everybody is coming out on fire. Kane, Haaland.
Haaland and Mbappe right now.
Yeah. It's gonna be bloody.
They are going bar for bar for bar. Like, it's wild. And honestly, like, bro, like, Loki, I even think in some ways, could you even say Kane is kind of underrated?
I could say so, but the underration is coming from his history with Tottenham.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like, I don't think anybody just, if you know Kane just from his Bayern days alone, there's no way you're underrating that nigga, man.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would say about being underrated is he's possibly underrated because of his age. Like, compared to like Mbappe and Haaland, they will still say, if I have to pick between Haaland and Kane, I'll pick Haaland. If I have to pick between Mbappe and Kane, I'll pick Mbappe, just because of that age factor. So I think that's what is making it seem like he's underrated. But I don't think anyone in their right mind would say Kane is not one of the top strikers ever. Like, so,
I think they all offer... It's crazy. Why is very interesting? Because they all offer different things towards the same purpose. They all give you huge numbers. They score a lot of goals. But they all do it in some ways differently. Maybe Kane and Haaland are a bit more similar. But, like, Kane comes with the whole, like, his game is just so evolved and this, what's a better way to put this? His, like, everything just seems very, 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 like, well, like, matured. his technique, the way he passes the ball, his shooting, everything just feels very, very like refined. Like the way he strikes the ball, the way he's like, whether it's a tri-vendor shot, whether it's the arrow, whether it's the lace, whether it's his heading, everything just seems so he's so grown as a striker. Maybe it's his age.
Seems like he has perfected his technique. He has had that time to perfect it.
The way he gives his passes as well, like the right curve, most of the time the right weight. I'm like, this guy go to maybe one kind of vacation camp and like perfect all his techniques.
I think these players actually do. Because even Semenyo, like before the season, not to divert, but you know, they do their summer trainings and sometimes some of them do like personal ones where they go crazy and perfect their technique. So but one thing I wanted to say though, I want to ask you guys, do you think this thing that Kane is doing, if Musiala was there, it would be overkill for them? Because I think the reason why he's getting this creativity uptick is because, like, Musiala is not there, obviously. It doesn't seem like there's someone that can carry the ball through the midfield for them. So, in that case, Kane would look like the perfect person to play that false line or drop deep and do his thing. But if Musiala is there, I think I would rather have my striker, you know, in his right position most times, not playing DM or not doing tackles when I need him to. So I'll be curious to see, like, Musiala, it looks like he's coming back. They said before the end of this year, he'll probably play. So I'm excited to see how that partnership will continue.
I agree with you. I don't think you would see Kane dropping back as much into the hole if Musiala is playing, because watching him last season, Musiala was one that occupied those spaces like midfield and AM positions. Kane wasn't dropping back as much as he did with Tottenham when Musiala was playing. So, but even if he drops down, Musiala will probably go beyond him.
I think they had enough chemistry to know when one will come back and when one will stay forward. I mean, he's definitely coming back more now. I honestly think he just enjoys it, man.
Yeah, I think he loves doing it, clearly.
He's like a Rooney of a higher level.
Yes, that's a very good way to put it. I think Kane is literally what I would say Haaland and Mbappe can look up to.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Model their game at some point, actually. I think he should be their goal. Bro, this guy is a center forward, but look at how much his game has gone up to a level, and it's not even affecting his numbers.
Exactly. That's really.
Yeah, I think Mbappe could probably learn from that, like that kind of that level of pause into his game, because he seems like he does everything at a very, very high tempo. Like when defenses drop deep, he kind of as if we are affecting Loki. Haaland on the other hand can also. That's different, yeah. I feel like Haaland doesn't need to. Because Mbappe drops deep a little bit more sometimes, and sometimes like guy, I just feel like he's more effective when teams pull up a little bit more. Deep defense seems to affect him a little bit more than it does Haaland.
Of course,
you know, apparently Mbappe is a better player, but I feel like he depends a lot more in space. Because I remember at PSG, he tried to do that whole dropping back and creating thing. It was not working out. It wasn't working out at all. So look,
I don't think Mbappe is there yet in terms of his creativity, like compared to Kane. Kane's passing and ball IQ is just higher compared to the other guy. I think Mbappe, they all have their perks. Like, I won't want Haaland to even be dropping back, to be honest, like you said. Because it's like, I want to give Haaland the ball in the box or around that box. Let him come. We need to. Right, but you can see Kane, from his origin of his play style, you know, he was never about power, he was never about running fast. It was all about just like IQ ball, knowing how to control the tempo, knowing how to and improving your technique. So I think that's why he could get to that level, because he didn't depend on other things. And these other players, they just have to play to their strong suits. Like Haaland's strong suit is being able to power any defender. Nobody can, once he has the ball, he cannot collect it from his leg. And he can shoot. Mbappe's own, you know, his space, he's jinky. Once he starts jinking you in the box, unless you want to drop penalty, you cannot tackle him. So they all have their pros, and I think they should just lean into it.
I guess you can unequivocally say that these are the three best strikers in the world today. Yeah. Well, what about Osimhen?
Honorable shout out to Osimhen.
I think it is top five.
I mean, Osimhen for sure. He's just in a lower division. Let's be real. There's no way I would mention Gyökeres in the same breath as these niggas.
Why did you have to call out Gyökeres? No one actually said Gyökeres.
Ope said it.
Gyökeres.
Like, I'll give Osimhen his props. Like, I think he deserves to be mentioned in the same breath. He's just the league he's in. That's just what it was. Like, if he was in a Premier League club, whole different conversation.
I'm curious about his agent also, because it's like, you can't tell me, yes, you know, I would prefer Osimhen to be in like a top Premier League club. So maybe I should not even bring the shout off of, you know, I'm sure other Premier League clubs would have wanted him. Obviously, he's a star player. And I don't see Osimhen going to, or I won't say it would be a good move for him to go to any club that is lower than at least like Europa League from Premier League, to be honest.
He needs to be playing Champions League for sure. Staying in Galatasaray for now.
I don't think he cares, man. I think he's getting that bread and he's good. Like, that's that.
He definitely cares. I think he has ambition. I cannot believe he doesn't have ambition.
They offered him Saudi.
I'm not saying he doesn't have ambition, but he's getting really good pay at Galatasaray. Galatasaray is not going to win the Champions League. Like, so, I mean, I don't know everything surrounding that move, but I don't know. Like, I feel like if he really wanted to come to the Prem and pushed for it, I don't see how a striker of his quality doesn't get picked.
Yep, especially there at his age point again. This guy is 26. I mean, on paper, he's 26. And yeah, that is, you are just reaching your peak. I don't see how he just can't do it.
Like, even if he's not the highest Premier League club coming for you, like, there's no way a top Premier League club, top eight, none of them will. They will break the bank.
What you're saying. But he's maybe his thinking was that, like, I gotta be paid what I'm worth. And if you're,
I mean, let him get his money. I can't hate on it.
Yeah, but if you're not offering what I'm worth and you're not in the Champions League, like, why would I pick you? Why would I play for you?
I guess. Well, like, those being in Champions League is just extra games. Like, I guess it's more fun, but they're like, it's almost ridiculous to expect Galatasaray to win the Champions League.
No, of course, he doesn't expect them, but at least he's playing there and there's other big clubs are seeing him. So maybe now that people are seeing what he's doing, maybe...
People have been seeing what he's been doing this for years, man.
He broke goal scoring record.
It does like a money move.
Yeah, and I think the thing of his what they called him affected him, like that whole manager rubbish.
I saw some things, I think from like Premier League pundits that they were hearing some negative things about him, but I mean, all those negative things, I don't know how bad it can be. If Man U could still loan out Sancho.
Yeah, but guys,
I don't know how bad it can be that they
like Guardiola. Like Guardiola and Ateta, I definitely see that affecting their opinion.
Yeah, and you know, that's fine. That's just true, bro. Newcastle that was looking for striker this whole summer. Are you telling me they need to see me?
That's true.
That's a good point. I don't know if Newcastle will pay. What was Osimhen actually asking for a salary? Because we're just saying high salary. We need to have an idea of what the number is. I looked up a figure and they say it's 256. If it's 256 that I was asking for, I don't think that is too much for us.
Yeah, but 256 in Galatasaray, not 256 in the Prem. Taxes, bro.
Taxes, I see. So you are thinking, unless he was probably asking for like anything above 350, that's when I see.
I mean, I don't know the full math and I can check it up real quick, but.
Yeah, I heard something around those numbers for the Chelsea one, that's what he wanted. And for them turning him down. So.
Yeah, but realistically, if we're being honest, then how many Premier League clubs can really play 350k per week?
If that's what it is, that'll be tough.
That'll actually be tough. I don't see Chelsea doing it with their new wage structure. I don't see Arsenal doing it. Maybe Man City can do it, but they have freaking Haaland. Why would they buy Osimhen, man?
Yeah.
Mind you, probably not with your, you know, with the new wage structure, but who knows? Shit.
Chelsea.
I mean, we saw him now. We didn't go for him. He was not going
to Chelsea, you know.
Chelsea, they were pretty for 10 years.
Bro, Chelsea is...
Nah, but they will just give him stupid bonuses and that he will probably reach. Like, someone like him, you just need to incentivize goals. Like, that guy will pop for you every game.
See, we were able to pay Gyökeres. It was like, how much are you paying Gyökeres? Like 170 or so?
I think it's 200 with his bonuses.
200, okay.
But if he meets his 20 goals, like, they said they were trying to make it easier for him.
Moving on to Arsenal, though. Arsenal 4, Atletico Madrid 0. For the rhetoric before this match, the narrative that people were pushing before this match was like, this is a match that should be displayed on Al Jazeera. This is Hitler versus Mussolini or whatever. Like, what? See, I don't. When did Arsenal get this kind of reputation? Because it's just crazy to me, and I feel like Mane don't really be watching Arsenal play.
I think social media just loves trolling Arsenal. That is just my thing. I don't think Arsenal can do anything, that they won't get trolled for. It doesn't make sense. You score corners, you turn to set piece FC. You keep clean sheets, you turn to Harambo. Now you score goal. You score goal. I was seeing videos of Yakeres. I was saying Yakeres is Kaisenat, and his goals look like Kaisenat goals. And I'm like, bro, you guys wanted this guy to score. He scored. Now you're complaining. Sesko, the goal that Sesko scored, was it not Balabulu goal too? But nobody came and told him. Sesko's first goal, I think his first goal ever in Premier League, the one that he kept just blasting and blasting and blasting. I mean, and finally,
the Yorkers goal wasn't really blasting and blasting. It just looked awkward.
He shot it, but the defender placed his leg and the ball deflected into the net.
Just went in, yeah. And the whole thing just looked awkward, like. That was just what it was.
Props to your career in that goal, actually, because if you actually look at where the ball came from, it was an easy volley. But the easy volley, your career trapped the easy volley, because I guess, I don't know why he trapped it. Maybe it was a mistake. But he trapped the easy volley, was able to wriggle his ball out in that tight position, got the shot away, defender deflected it. It go into the net. So I'm like, it's not the most beautiful goal.
When he scored it, it didn't look like, oh, this is a real goal, but
it was a crappy goal, but that's fine.
It doesn't matter. First of all, my own thing is he was in the right position for that to happen. Second goal, he was in the right position. Like,
guy, he knocked the ball into the net.
That's important now. Like, all these talks about how he gets goals doesn't matter. He got goals. Like,
positioning. And to your point, I even prefer the fact that he wasn't overly celebratory about his bullshit goal. He says a lot. He wants more because, in my opinion, like, if my strikers go and score penalty, you have been missing goal, you've not scored. They finally give you penalty, you now score. You're not going to go and be running up and down like you did one big thing. I don't like that kind of energy. And I'm starting to, like, really, I don't like that kind of energy of, oh, you know, you do one small thing, you go and carry it, you go and be doing...
You're disciplinarian.
No, for real. That's what me. I like to watch people and really see what they are. I like the way, I like the way your career is integrating into the team. It's not coming as, at least from my perspective, it's not coming as that guy that, oh, I'm the star player, score 50 goals. That's one.
He's not.
He wants to earn it.
He needs to, like, I don't think they would have bought him if he also had that kind of ego.
Yeah, true.
Fair. But yeah, I just like, at least, you know, it seems like the team is rallying around him and they are supporting him.
That was a good point. I love how they were so happy. They were like, yeah, guy, do your celebration. You could tell like they were really supportive of him.
You can tell that supporting him, Sha. Like, even the second goal, yeah, everything, like, not the second, like, his second goal. Yeah, you can tell. I mean, of course, the game was kind of dry. But, you know, Arsenal is always going to do Arsenal things.
Was he really right?
What was your first goal?
I mean, to be fair, if I was hate watching, it would be a dry game. Because,
bro, the game that
I didn't say it was a dry game. I said it started off dry. Oh. Am I lying?
But that game was actually, we hit the bar. So, like, twice or three times.
Yeah, we almost scored. It was end-to-end. It was definitely not like a drab, like, boring game.
Even Alvarez was going crazy at some point that I was so scared.
Alvarez had one shot. I think that one hit bar.
Yeah, and even the one that Raya almost had a Bozo moment.
Bro, when I saw that thing, I was like... And then also, I don't want to just blame Raya. I also blame Lewis Skelly. He's like, why was Lewis Skelly just standing there? There was only one person he could have passed to. Simple decision. Yeah. Go and mark him.
Yeah,
he was just standing and looking. So that one didn't make sense. But you should have lost the one pick him out of it.
Eze to Saka, like a couple of times. Eze actually did pretty good in that position.
Yeah, he did well.
Look, that went under the radar. Also, Zubimendi is so good. You know that talk about him being just a side to side passer, bro. I love the fact that he keeps proving every single game. He keeps proving other journalists wrong. I'm like showing them how stupid they are. This guy is a passer. That's one thing I would say he has over Partey. He's ability to actually play that 6 by himself.
I've seen him even play for Spain. and he does it. I've never accused him of just being a side passer.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I saw ESPN, they was like, yeah, he's just, I don't know why, like, I don't really get the rave around him. I don't remember the specific point, but I heard that on ESPN. Like, he, to me, he's just someone who thrives in playing the ball, moving the ball side to side, shuffling the ball. I'm like, bro, why are you saying this guy gives line breaking passes at least once almost every game?
Is higher thing for me before, but now looking at the way this guy was tackling in that game, I don't know if Arteta sends him on a mission, but that yellow card that he got, I would have given that yellow since, Seth, because from the jump of the game, Jesus Christ, some of the tackles, I was like, oh my God, Zubimendi, what the hell is in this boy? This guy was taking out Atletico players like he had like vendetta against these niggas. And I didn't know Zubi was that kind of like...
Who's Atletico's right back?
Lorente? Marcos Lorente.
Martinelli was cooking that nigga. That nigga was so useless.
Oh, yeah.
He was so poor.
He's tall. Yeah, he's taller than Martinelli. And Martinelli, if you are not like fast and small, you cannot match him. I think it will be difficult for you to...
Nah, but even his positioning, especially for that, I think it was your second goal. It was like, why was he just... He literally saw Martinelli. There were other defenders going on the attacker. Why was he moving towards the same attacker? And giving
the Gyökeres effect. That's the Gyökeres effect that we're talking about. I saw it's the Martinelli goal you're talking about.
Was it Gyökeres that passed the ball?
No. It was Kelly that was running through. It was the one that Kelly gave him.
Kelly. It was not about Gyökeres. He was running towards Kelly.
Issue was the reason why he was running towards Kelly is because the other two center backs, they were gone. But if you see, I was watching this replay. If you see when Kelly started running, you see the two center backs, they squeezed towards Gyökeres. And once they squeezed towards Gyökeres, and he saw Kelly was still coming, there was nobody that was approaching Kelly. So it's one of two options.
Right beside Kelly, I would have pushed Kelly in that position. It made no sense. Like literally no sense. Like he went in so.
Well, Nnamdi the defender. Let's
the defender from the defender's perspective, he made no. That was a very poor decision making.
Yes, and I agree, but it depends on the kind of player that Skelly was. Knowing the kind of player that Skelly is, and he won't shoot from outside. Yes, that was a poor decision. But if that
even
is
besides knowing, easy, bro, he literally
if that is running at your center box, and all of you are stepping back, and all of you are guarding. I'm going to bank shot than it will enter, bro. It's just because Kelly is not a shooter.
I would rather let that's Kelly shoot than leave the attacker who is a shooter free. Like, bro, it make that's
I get what
decision
you're saying.
Making there. There's no, I'm not hearing anything about that one. That
I mean, but like,
I was looking at him, I was like, what is happening?
But even that take from Martinelli was not.
No, it was a good goal. It was definitely a good
goal. The finish from Martinelli was time. And that's why I'm saying, like, even the finish, like, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, it was a poor decision. But that take, like, if Martinelli took a touch and tried to settle it, he was tucked back up. So it was just that, like, you have to give these players their brilliant. It's split second decisions, obviously.
No, Martinelli made the most of it. Like, I'm not downplaying anything for Martinelli. For me, it was just that their defense just looked abysmal. At least like that defender in particular, not their whole defense, but that defender in particular.
But anyway, yeah, I think it was a good game in general. I feel like Arsenal actually, like, I didn't expect 4-0, if I'm being honest. I thought like maybe 1-0, 2-0, but so I guess they scored 3 in how many minutes?
Yeah, the goals kind of just came all together, well, most of them.
So, Atletico Madrid, also having watched them beat Madrid like 5-0, whatever. I did not expect them. I didn't expect us to beat them like that. Because they're not a terrible team. Even though they're not the defensive behemoth, whatever, from
years
past.
They used to be, yeah.
But they're still a very, very solid outfit. Yeah. And Alvarez is always dangerous. I wouldn't mind Alvarez in my team, but I mean, right now I have Gyök, so we're good. We're good right here. Anyway, let's move on to Liverpool. Are Liverpool back? Seems like their crisis only lasted for like about a minute. Just what, like 2 minutes? 5-1.
Four or five games. You gotta lose 4 or 5 games now.
Bro, I never imagined. Okay, after watching the match, I kind of saw this happening. But when they signed Isak and Ekitike, I never thought that at some point Ekitike would be looking like the sure starter over Isak.
That's fair.
I genuinely feel like I was shook when they didn't pick him in the last game they played.
Yeah, me I was grateful though. That boy is dangerous.
Right. Yeah, and obviously it was a poor decision, him not picking Ekitike over this thing. And I think his eyes have started to open. That Baba, you can't keep playing favorites. Because, yeah, in this their new game, it looks like they played 4-3-1-2, even though it was 4-4-2 on paper.
Ben Salah.
But, yeah, that was needed. That was definitely needed.
Salah is just going through a phase.
Yeah, Salah is going through a phase. Honestly, I guess we can't really take out the factor of the whole Jota thing. I wonder maybe they are still grieving. Who knows? People grieve in different ways. But Salah is looking very off it.
Yeah, Salah is...
Ekitike is their best player right now. And you'll be wild if he doesn't start every game.
And that's also... Bro.
Also, this guy has made it easier for him. I think he had a groin injury. I feel like the football... he went out with a groin injury. I think modern football is trying so hard to make sure that 4-4-2 does not happen. 4-4-2 is the old tactics. So maybe
really two of them. Imagine Isak. And honestly, Isak too, he was just kind of unlucky that game. I think it's the same thing that Salah is doing him too, because like he had a really good chance, controlled the ball perfectly, everything. But his chip over the keeper was rubbish. But like, he's a class player. It will still happen for him. Like, it's just a phase. Like, it's not like he's playing rubbish.
He's not playing rubbish, but Kitik is...
Ekitike is their starter. Like that one should. Me personally, I think it's Cody Gakpo, Ekitike, and then
Cody Gakpo is on deadlift.
And then fit whoever you want to fit in. But for that front line, it has to be Ekitike and Gakpo. Gakpo is so consistent.
And I don't know how they would manage to do it. Maybe give Salah a rest. I guess and a slot.
Depends Salah now, but Salah was mad and walked straight.
It could be benching for the weekend's game. I mean, they are never losing to Frankfurt anyway. Frankfurt has been terrible. I think they've conceded the most goals in Bundesliga, like 18.
Terrible in that game, bro. I was like, what am I even watching? Like most of the goal. I mean, Liverpool obviously they are the better team, but. Frankfurt, I guess Ekitike knew their levels, because the way this guy was just dealing, I mean, Ekitike is class anyway, but the way this guy was just playing with them, even his goal, the goal that he scored, I was like, is this how they score in Germany? Like, one through ball, boom.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I know even in Germany, they are bad. Like, I've said they've conceded the most goals in Germany.
You know, goal is this, one through ball, boom. It was literally almost the same chance that Vlahovic missed. That was the same thing. Through ball, but you had a defender running with him. The defender was running with him. I didn't get to keep beat him. I won't shit on them that much.
They look defensive. Yeah. Bro, I don't understand the concept of football these days. That's why sometimes when we're having this conversation of football back in the days and football now, like how it has evolved, I personally still think defending has actually gone down the drain. I think it's worse. Because I know back in the days, it was a typical thing to put your biggest man to mark the opposition's biggest man while defending set pieces and everything. But these days, you'll be seeing, like, put McAllister on Gabriel. Like, how will you even win that kind of bad battle? Or the small guy that was marking Van Dijk. I was like, what the hell? What were you expecting? Both Van Dijk and Konate, very tiny people were marking them. I was like, what?
I think set pieces... let me not say set pieces. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it just seems like set pieces have a bigger influence. And I don't know if it's because it's improved or it's because people have stopped practicing how to like stop set pieces from going in.
Yeah, it might be zonal marking. I think zonal marking might have a part to play, but I don't think whatever marking you're doing, one on one marking or zonal marking, I think your biggest person should always be close to the. Oh, that's his biggest person. You can't be leaving, because I think I've seen Arsenal benefit from it a lot, even like against Newcastle. If I was Newcastle's coach, there's no way. What is that big defender? I don't remember his name. Dan Bourne is always going to be close to Gabriel. I don't care.
No, to be fair, and I get that point. Part of what is important also is the composition of the team. Because in a team like Arsenal, average height is above 6 foot now at this point. It's like, yeah, you can put your big man, but person has Max Gyökeres, somebody has Max Saliba, and that person has to mark Merino if he's on the pitch, he's a tall guy. If Kalifiori too is there, it's kind of tall, you have to mark him before you now go and mark Gabriel. So you need 5 people that can match up, even against Liverpool. That your team is, see all of them, AKTK Giant, Van Dijk Giant, even Kodigakpo self, he tall, small. So it's like, bro, you can only have so many people to mark everybody. So I think that was just the case in that Frankfurt game.
Yeah, they just look very, very terrible defensively, though. I mean, and stats show that they're not really a particularly good defensive team. And I guess their team has also been, they've basically gone into their team and taken out their best players. So I don't really expect that much from them this season. True. But actually, Wirtz looks
really good. He did well that game.
Yeah, I think playing him further forward, of course, is probably better for him than playing him deeper, having him play deeper in midfield. And who knows, maybe in some ways we've been harsh on him low key. At least statistically, apparently he's had the most created chances in Premier League. I mean, I don't know. All these stats.
Who worse?
Apparently, yeah. He has the most created chances in Premier League. So maybe we have been too harsh on him. Maybe he wasn't really the problem.
What's your now? He's on 2 assists now. He got 2 assists in that last game. So.
Yeah, so I guess it's no longer 0-0.
It's no longer 0-0. 0-2 FIB. What was it?
I think we're to ball. Over time, I think he'll end up ball. He's too good of it. He's too good of a player to not ball.
Person, I'm curious. They are not starting still. Sorry, one last thing is Chiesa, because that boy, ever since the few times that I've seen that guy play, it's like he has scored every time he comes on that pitch. And I'm still not sure. I mean, obviously they have lots of players, so I won't say they will start Chiesa and everybody else and Ben Salah and Wirtz. So obviously, Slot has a lot on his hands to manage in terms of rotation. But I think Chiesa is another person that should probably be getting more game time. Because he's not been looking bad, like, since he came back. So.
Yeah, he looked good. But he's some other people got to play. Salah, though, what I was going to say earlier is Slot's a very, very lucky guy, Sha. And from what I've seen, every time he's faced with making a difficult decision, I've seen him flop, personally. The times he makes good decisions, it's as if situations has occurred to just help him towards that decision. Kind of like when Isak was about to start. Luckily for him, this guy decided to be a bozo. What's his name? And took off his shirt and did rubbish. Got red card. Isak still starting. Now that people are saying, guy, how can you bench your best player for Isak just because of money? All of a sudden, Isak is having groin issues. So now Ekitike is going to play. Salah has been playing awfully. Like I can give him slack. Salah is Salah, and he has a lot of like.
Yeah, fair. He deserves it. He deserves the break. So can continue from also.
But guess what? Salah will soon go for AFCON eventually. Anyway, so and yeah, he's probably gonna keep playing Salah too, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know if I really rate his team selection like that. If I'm being honest. I don't know. He has not really given me. I know he won the Premier League, but it was pretty much with Klopp's team, to be honest. And there was not. He didn't buy anybody, just Chiesa. So the team pretty much picked itself. This is the season where we're actually going to judge him for his decision making. And so far, I wouldn't say he has impressed a lot. But I think that's enough said about Liverpool for now. Manchester City versus Villarreal. This is a game where you are shitting on La Liga.
Really, I don't think this was a game. I think more of my thing on shitting on La Liga was even about our win against Atletico Madrid. I came to that game like expecting, I mean, obviously, I didn't expect 4-0. But just seeing like every other La Liga team, really, apart from like, you know, Barca, Madrid. Yeah, I don't see what the hype really is. I feel like if they merge the tables and bring Premier League teams and La Liga teams and form one table, I still think most Premier League teams will be ahead over a game of 36 games playing against each other. So that was my thing. What'd you say?
I think Premier League has more quality top teams. I don't think that's it. Maybe back in the five years ago, maybe, but now I think it's pretty much obvious to everybody.
Very obvious that the EPL is better than La Liga. I'm not even. Maybe before, because of Champions League, you know, the Messi Ronaldo era. But after that, I'm not seeing any reason for that argument, for that thing to still be an argument, basically.
Yeah, but for the Villarreal Man City game, though, I won't lie, Man City looked shaky defensively, especially second half. But that Haaland dependency thing might actually be a thing. I was getting scared.
Well, he didn't score the two goals, he only scored one.
Nah, but still, bro. Like, I think props to him, though. I think he has become much more of an important, not just a regular. He's even become a leader, actually. I would say he has become Master's leader right now.
He's always had it. He's always had it in him. He just needed time.
Yeah, but Man City's defense looks shaky, though. See that.
Like, Haaland has, like, fully integrated himself into City. Actually, with, like, the way all of the players, it looks like, even without everyone trying to play for him, they are starting to play for him. Most of the chances you can see, Savinho or like the rest of them, Doku, they are always like looking for Haaland. It's not like, oh, just the striker that is dead. I don't think they're looking for Haaland.
I mean, did you see the first goal? The first goal, he didn't even look. He just knew he was going to be there.
I think
Lewis. He crossed the thing and he shot the ball.
What am I thinking?
Oh, yeah, I think let me actually go and look it
up. From the right, yeah.
I can't remember his name. I think
it was Lewis that gave him the ball. Lewis, I think it was
I can remember Bernardo's goal.
Bernardo's goal was from Savinho. Savinho crossed the thing.
Yeah, Savinho, that's
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they are just looking for Haaland. I think, one, he's always available. There's even one that first, kind of like a first chance that ended up with Doku that Haaland really probably should have shot it, but he was being unselfish and passed the ball back to Savinho, and then Savinho couldn't really control it, so he passed to Doku, and then Doku does shot like a team shot.
Yeah. No, I think Haaland has become a real leader in that team. And I kind of share the opinion that they're kind of playing more towards his style. They've become a little bit more direct overall. And that's probably because he's become much more influential in the team.
Yeah, I agree.
He has basically made them have to play, use him a lot.
That was more of my point.
No, when he first came.
Wait, okay, what were you saying?
Oh, sorry, I'll be breaking in and out. But what I was just going to say, I wasn't just saying like, they are starting to play for him now. It's more about, like, before it was obvious, like, Man City was still doing their thing and Haaland was just another piece in the puzzle. But now it seems like he's fitting himself perfectly. So it's like you cannot just but play the ball to him. It's like, even if you are trying to not play too directly, Haaland is making the perfect run into space. You have to do it, even though you're trying to keep possession or you're not trying to be too direct or whatever it is. So it just seems like he has really made himself like a no-brainer option. Like, bro, you just have to give me the ball at this time. Because,
yeah, I can say that. I mean, when he first joined, you could tell like they weren't used to playing towards his strengths. The only person that really played towards his strengths, and thank God that season he had less injuries, was De Bruyne. De Bruyne just knew him and Haaland's chemistry, crazy. But I mean, De Bruyne, I don't think will have chemistry with any striker that makes runs.
This is the team from it now, Højlund.
I guess. I mean, I'm happy for him, man. Like, I don't hate on him. Like, no, for real. Like, he's not someone that I can say, oh, like, you could tell he was trying. You could tell he was trying to do something, but he's just not that nigga for us, at least. So he can do it somewhere else. The one I dislike is Sancho.
I don't think you guys use Højlund well, Sha. That's another conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
about Rashford right now.
Very possible.
He's always been good.
Like, even he even said it's like in his interview with them, like he's just like he kind of got checked out at Man U, you know. And then I'm sure the 350k a week salary was also sweet, or 300k, whatever you were paying was also. And he's a British boy, so it's less taxes. It's not like he's paying foreigners tax. So I'm sure a lot of things came into play, and he just lost his zeal to really ball for Man U. Yeah, and he's found it Abaka. I'm happy for him, man. Do your thing.
Yeah, he really played well in the game, the win versus Olympiacos. But yeah, Flicks. Baka still has Baka issues. Defense still looks very sucky and rubbish. You know, when they are playing against a quality of Olympiacos, I can't really take advantage. And they have Rashford, the whole Rashford in attack. I don't think they can really, they couldn't really lose. Even though that red card was very, very silly. Even the Olympiacos and Baka players were like, what the hell was that? Like, terrible. This is why I was never understand you today. And that's same way I felt in the Rice Trossard one. A second yellow should be reviewed. I don't care about, you start reviewing all yellow cards. Why? It doesn't have to be black or white. Okay, you don't have to review every yellow card. But a second yellow that will get a player sent off, VAR has to review that shit. I don't.
Because
he's just terrible. I mean, it's not like I game never changing have decision.
I said that's yes, a more game changing decision.
I don't see why it doesn't get reviewed. Because you just messed up the whole game. Like, I mean, Barca would have probably still won, but I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rashford. Rashford is.
To be fair,
I don't even think he has entered that flow yet.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think Rashford is even. Looking at him, he's not even playing that great, if I'm being honest. He's just able to get the results. I don't think he has really even reached that height of confidence that Rashford had when he used to score bangers against freaking Arsenal, where he would just carry the ball and he's running at you and almost just like, bro, somebody please catch this guy. So I don't even think he has reached that height yet. Like, he has reached his form yet, but it looks like so far, like, being in Baka, a team that knows how to play, and he's actually learning a new style of football. Like, is a different type of Rashford than what he's used to in Premier League. Because Barcelona, man, they are just Barcelona. Like, and the way they play is obviously different from the way United plays. But kudos to Rashford, man. It seems like he's learning and he's picking up new stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, yo, that Rashford and Firmino, those are two shooters. Guy. When they are deadly shooters, I don't know how to explain, but like their finishing levels elite. This guy's also like, it used to be like that, like Aguero. You know, guys that can just shoot. When they just rifle the ball, you're very sure, like, it'll be. Lucky Martinelli has it too. Small. But Rashford and.
Don't put Martinelli into that conversation.
I say small.
Martinelli is no shooter. That guy is not a gunman. No, yes, he can do those little R2 finesse.
That's not a
shooter. Yes, you called it Alvarez shooter. Aguero, Fermin Lopez. Yes, those are shooters. Haaland is a shooter. Gabriel is not a shooter.
Well, yeah, I mean, scored a hat trick. I was surprised it was his first hat trick. I thought he would have had the hat trick by now. But that guy is a very good shooter. To me, in my opinion, he's probably better than Olmo right now, than the Olmo for that 10 position. Even though Olmo is a bit more creative, but Fermin, you can't just not play him. Every time he plays well. Yeah, he has to be playing. Yamal is still easing in into form, I think. I don't think he's at the levels of last season yet. But maybe it's injury. Maybe he's still, you know, recovering. It's more light balling. He's not really, you know, like those games from last year where he like dominates whole games. You're like, Yamal, like every 5-10 minutes. It doesn't feel that way watching them now.
Yeah, I think Yamal is just having woman problem, honestly. I don't know why he's getting himself moving like, he's not moving like Neymar these days. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's a little too early for him to be jumping and doing excessively on that front. But you know, as we know, he's a golden child. So I don't think there's much to say about Yamal. Like, he's still going to play well in every game. There's no game that I think I've seen this guy play that is like a bad game that I'll be like, oh, nah, they should stop this guy in this game. He's doing badly.
But no, he doesn't have bad games. He's just more...
He's not doing those crazy things that you are used to seeing him doing week in, week out. Those his finesses. He's not picked up on them yet. Yeah.
Also, this boy had an assist. One, I don't know, 16 or 15, one of these small children that they be producing these days. Joy Fernandez. I'd never heard of him, but he played pretty well. He seemed like a very sleek baller. Is it Joy Fernandez? Yeah, Joy Fernandez. I'm like, bro, where did this guy come from? I was very surprised to see his name on the team sheet. That was my first time actually watching him, but he seemed like a pretty nice baller. Yeah, it was, and also, but yeah, their defense is not looking impressive, and that's probably why I'm a bit worried about Barcelona and Mbappe. That high line, it doesn't seem like they will ever change. So, who do you guys have winning the El Clasico? Hello, Namdi, who do you have? What's your pick for the El Clasico? Who do you have winning that game?
Man, I'll give it a draw.
A draw. I don't see that match producing plenty goals, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I see goals, but just on the last game that I watched both of them, yeah, I feel like a draw is likely.
I think it's a decent scoring game, but I don't know. I gotta pick Madrid on this one. I'm gonna have to pick Madrid because it looks like Xabi Alonso is getting his team better and better, and I'll be interested to see how this game goes. But definitely, I see like a 3-2 Madrid winning. Obviously.
Oh, Namdi, do you have any score for your draw? Is it 0-0 draw?
I'll say
3-3. So banga game. Me, I just feel there's a possibility that like Madrid might have some kind of complex was back Barca because of fear of having lost the last couple of games. Even though I think they are a little bit more stable than Barca right now, low key seeing them losing that game. Because I feel like Barca always kind of turns this up a gear against Madrid. So maybe even though that defense, something has to be done about it. They will need some luck for sure. But I predict like a 3-2 Barca to win or Barca to win. Yeah. Both teams have problems in defense. Madrid's defense is not that strong either. So
yeah, which is why I think their attacks are crazy. I just think they will just take advantage.
Yeah. It's very like a draw looks like a safe bet. But I don't know. Their games really end in draws these days. So.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not a draw, then I'll edge it probably back up.
Yeah, I know Madrid is first in their league right now. Anyway, I know we didn't even talk about Newcastle with him. That kind of plays towards a Premier League narrative. I think besides Spurs, of course, Spurs will not win. Every other Premier League team won their game. What's matter?
He scored again.
What's the score?
I'm not surprised, man. That boy's good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I think he and Ekitike are probably amongst the best striker acquisitions this past summer.
Sure. I agree. I think it's those two.
They beat Benfica and Mourinho say him too. He's a Newcastle fan. I'm like, what? Is that Mourinho guy?
I mean, Mourinho has done what he needed to do.
Yeah. It was because of Mourinho that I like Chelsea. Even though for this Mourinho, him and Diego Costa are two people that I hate them, but I would love to have those people on my team. Like, I don't know. Like, just having those guys that they are annoying, but they have their quality. And, you know, they will shit on you when they win you.
I was like, if someone that wants to go for drinks with, like, a manager, Mourinho and Guardiola are top two for sure. Ateta too. Ateta is a madman. I would like to have a conversation with Ateta because I don't think he's all right completely. But Mourinho is probably number one. Mourinho, that guy is... He should never change. He's a very, very funny guy. Yeah, I don't know what you mean by you're a magpie too. But I say now Newcastle fan, so they cannot really be mad that they lost to Newcastle. It was like he just joined Benfica. I mean, I don't really blame him. I think he just joined their team. But they've lost two games back to back now. Anyway, I love Mourinho's
just enjoying life, man.
I think he wants to come back to the EPL. Yeah, so talk to, man, you can, you know.
Oh, I said you should talk to Marinakis, but Marinakis has already signed somebody, hired somebody.
Ah, Mourinho in Nottingham Forest is going to be money. I would love to see it. But look, I feel like it's eyeing Newcastle job. Yeah, that would be
crazy. Yeah, Mourinho in the distance would be crazy, man. Yeah.
Anyway, dude. Let's see. I don't really see Napoli versus Inter. That was an interesting match to talk about. But honestly, I haven't really been watching Serie A that much ever since Osimhen left. But, and the way PSV and Eindhoven knocked Napoli like 5-1 or 6-1 or 7-1. They beat Napoli like 7-1. That was crazy. And these guys are probably high up in Serie A table. I'm not really sure what's wrong with Serie A these days. They keep doing well. They keep getting to the latter stage of Champions League. But their teams, I don't know. It's just weird.
The Serie A league, I don't know. Like, even with the Inter team that made it so far, I don't know. I still didn't. I guess I rated them as a team, but they were not like individual players on the team that I'm like, oh yeah, they are standout people. So maybe that might be the
besides tennis, the defenders, right? Yeah.
So, but that game, I mean, Napoli Inter seems like it'll be a good one. I want to see the Bruyne and Haaland connection against the actual team. So
yeah, I didn't really watch the PSV game because if PSV beating you 7-1, are you sure you have hope to win anybody? Not to show on PSV, but like, guy, can you lose? Guy, that's
probably crazy, like, I mean, I didn't watch the game, so I don't even know how that came about.
Well, no, it's not 7-1, 6-2, my bad, 6-2. Yeah, it's still bad.
Any red card?
Yeah, they had a red card. But they had the red card in 76 minutes.
Yeah, when did 76 minutes. When did the goals start coming in?
They have scored a lot of like goals already, like three. Yeah, they conceded like three before their red card. I guess they conceded like three more after. Nah, bro, that was a bad defeat. But I know AC Milan is doing well this season in the league. But even though performance-wise, they've not really been impressive, apparently. So the one thing I like Serie A is that they keep producing different winners every season. So like every season they have a
competitive
new
league winner.
To be fair, they've probably been the most competitive league in recent times. You know, I know there was a point where Juventus were winning every season, but that hasn't been the case for a long time now. So now AC Milan is first, Inter is second, and Napoli is third. So I guess it should be a very good game, and they are all 16 points, like 1 point difference for between the top four. That's crazy.
The season just started now, so you may never know.
Oh, well. By this time last season, we don't know who will win for Premier League.
We're still in the race now, up until the end. That's what we thought.
Well, anyway, though, so the next thing we're supposed to talk about is we have a new segment. It's called Opez Rankings. Yeah, so what was your top five for the season so far? Top five clubs for your season so far this season. Your unbiased top five ranking. If you want, you can.
Top five clubs. Yeah, I guess I'll do it on a European scale because, I don't just want to limit it to Premier League. For the fifth team, I think I'll give Madrid for fifth, just because, you know, it's Madrid. I always feel like they're always the contenders in the grand European title, regardless of what they are going through or whatnot. So I'll put Madrid fifth. Fourth, I'll put probably Barcelona. They are good, but I think they might have dropped a level below what I'm used to seeing them. It's probably because, you know, Lamine is not on peak form, but it's looking like they have a little bit of improvement, but they look slightly in a better place than Madrid, in my opinion, in terms of competing for the European title. Third, I will have to give it, obviously, third is hard. Jesus.
Who's your third?
Third is hard. I'm thinking it has to be. Third will be between Bayern and PSG. The reason why is because, obviously...
Wait, that's PSG?
Yeah. I think it's between Bayern and PSG, but I think I'll put PSG in there. Wow, this is actually difficult. Why did I even put...
No, can you hear him?
This guy didn't use Wi-Fi.
I didn't hear your third.
Hold on, may I disconnect for Wi-Fi?
Look, we're having technical issues with... Okay, okay, that's clear.
Can you hear me better now? I just disconnected from Wi-Fi. You can't hear any sound?
We can't hear you. Oh, yeah, you just came up now.
Can you hear me now?
Nope, we cannot hear anything. Looks like Ope is freezing. Maybe he made some outlandish statements that might have affected his Wi-Fi.
Can you guys hear me better now?
Yeah, very, very well.
So okay, I don't have Wi-Fi, bro. Once I'm in my room, I have to hardwire everything.
Oh.
Yeah, because network know they reach here. Top five. Yeah, I guess, actually, let me start again. Teams plenty. I don't think I'll put Madrid in there if I actually start thinking right. I guess it's not much changing. We're just going to drop it a little lower. I'll put Barcelona at fifth, not to waste time. In fourth, I'll put Bayern. Actually, I'll put PSG in fourth. I'll put PSG in fourth. For third, actually, I'll put Man City in there for third in terms of European contenders. I think people are underestimating Man City in this whole Europe this thing. With that Donnarumma acquisition, Haaland going crazy, bro. I just feel like it's going to be difficult to beat Man City in a Champions League game. I don't know. Maybe it might happen, but we'll see. Second, as obviously we can see, Bayern is going on a crazy form. Harry Kane, it looks like all of their players are looking pretty good. Apart from their defense, I don't know too much about their defense. So I'll put Bayern in second. And, I mean, obviously, in first position is going to be for the best defense in the league. I think defense does the job for me at least, and I'll put Arsenal as my number one team in terms of team challenging to win Europe this season.
Now, what do you have to say about that? The best five in the world.
I won't put Arsenal first, right? But Arsenal to me, I probably keep it the same, except I'll shuffle maybe the top three. Man City first, then I can't even know if I say Man City first, really. Because Bayern is going crazy. I put Bayern first. Man City second, Arsenal third. And then I'll keep fourth and fifth the same.
So you have PSG, fourth?
Yeah, I have PSG fourth.
For world champions.
It's not about world champions. I think part of it also is that I've not watched plenty of PSG games this season. So maybe that could also be there. But I see them, I mean, obviously they are top contenders. They won it last time. They are definitely still gonna be in there, in my opinion. So yeah. What about you, Chidalu? What is your ranking?
Well, so what is your algorithm? How do you how
it's solely based off of my opinion. It's based off of my items, what I'm watching. That is what's my algorithm. I don't use no stats. I don't use any of that.
For me, so you gave fifth to Barcelona. I guess what the only thing I'll change, I'll put PSG first. I'll put Arsenal second. And I'll put Bayern third. Yeah, I personally think PSG is probably the most superior team. And I think their level of talent kind of raises them to a higher level that maybe most teams can't really cope with. I think their team is the most talented out of all the squads in Europe right now. Bayern Munich, I think they are the most fluid. But I wonder, I don't know if their defense has been tested like that yet. I haven't really watched a game where any team has actually tested them. But they're the most fluid team I've seen. Arguably just as good as PSG. I think Arsenal is the most balanced. Overall, I think we are the most balanced outfit. And of course, we have the best defense. Like, by far, I think we have the best defense. I think that can... And we Arsenal can beat you with flair. They can beat you with physicality. And if they need to pack the bus, they can also pack the bus. That's why I think they're the most balanced team overall. But I'll still have PSG as number one, Arsenal number two, Bayern number three. And fourth and fifth can be the best. Wait, who was that? Who did I forget?
I guess City. You haven't put City in yet. City and Barca, they were in my top five. So I don't know if you want to include any of them or if you want to take any of them out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if City is Liverpool and City is kind of hard for me. I can't lie. I can't decide who I should actually put in fourth. I'll put Barcelona fourth for fifth. Let's let City have it out of respect to Haaland right now. City can be fifth.
Yeah, it's good. I think the table ranking based on our three opinions is similar but diverse, which is good. So,
Anyway, very soon, I feel like by the time Man U get someone like Osimhen, maybe they can come into this conversation because I don't know.
They have Sesko and they already have Cunha and they already have Mbeumo. So, I don't think another striker is not what they need right now.
Do you think Man U has to win this game this weekend?
That's a question for Nambi.
Do we have to win? Nambi. I mean, I'd like us to win. But like, even if they don't win, it should just be like, why I'm expecting us to come eighth at the end of the season. It is going to come with wins and losses. So I'm open to whatever is going to happen.
Yeah. But if Man U wins this. If they win this weekend's game, I see so many fans. A lot of fans will come out from under their rocks.
and actually, I want Man U to start winning. So we can actually have like Man U fans come back in the chats because it's been a rough couple of weeks, you know. The chats have been silent sometimes, you know, because we don't want to seem like we're bullying other football fans because it seems like that has been.
I think they're scared if they talk too much, you know, because of that Liverpool win, something might happen this coming weekend. But I feel like if Man U wins this weekend, man, the kind of confidence boost to give a lot of people because that's like three games in the span. Yeah.
Wow. Three games in a row. That's a record now, isn't it?
Two is a record.
Amorim, yeah.
Oh, two is a record. Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. Amorim breaking record again. Yeah. That's amazing, man.
Anyway, I feel like we are done for today. It was a fun conversation. But anyway, does anyone have any quick hits for the weekend games? I know, like, do you? So Namdi, what do you think about? Are you excited for this weekend? Do you actually believe you guys can win?
I think we can win. I think we're playing home, and it's against Brighton. I want to see Baleba. I hope he does well.
Wow.
But I don't even hope he does too well, you know. But I want to, like, evaluate him to see if that's really who we should be going for, because the next part of our project is midfield. So I'm trying to scout the potential options. What do I think? Sesko will probably start that game. I think Cunha started just because of the tactics we needed to win against Liverpool. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like if he's away, then I feel less sure. But if we're playing home, then, you know, maybe something can happen.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully you guys win. I know Brighton is not an easy team for sure, but I feel a lot more positive than about Man U than most Man U fans, if I'm being honest. But yeah, even though I don't admit it like that, but I mean,
we had this hardest start to the league now, like statistically. We've played most of the top six.
I don't think you guys have looked exceptionally bad. Except in that Grimsby game. That Grimsby game was just very confusing to me.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm still...
It's like everybody... That's what affects every fan. Because me, I don't expect it, man. But bro, I beg, let's not bring back trauma. But yeah.
Honestly, I think can lose to anybody. I think Man can lose to anybody and they can beat anybody. That's the thing.
Losing to anybody should have a left. You cannot be playing Georgia Southern. And you say, you cannot lose to anybody, bro. See, I can best money that if Grimsby play Georgia Southern, will he be there?
I don't know. But, yeah, but because they're almost, they are level before professional league self. They're just the level above.
Have real jobs.
They're like Tormenta.
Yeah, they're like Tormenta level. So yeah, that I don't know, that stint in Amorim's record is just, it's just hard to ignore. But obviously, like you said, it seems like they are able to beat anybody. So it's these kind of games. I think these games are even more important for Man U than the bigger games. Because these are the kind of games where, you know, if you want to be that eighth position and you want to contend in Premier League, you need to be able to beat all these mid-table guys. And these are the more annoying guys to play because you really don't know how you're going to play them. So yeah, it'll be an interesting game for sure.
We have one of those, arguably even more difficult proposition for like this weekend. That's Arsenal, Crystal Palace. That's a game.
Where Arsenal is playing. Is it got to step up then?
If we win this game, I'll be very happy because it's not an easy game. Even like that Fulham game, I was a bit worried, but I'm glad we got past that one. This one is on that one. This kind of game style, a lot of people are like, yeah, we'll win. But guy, they actually scare me. That Newcastle, this Crystal Palace, yeah. it's not gonna be an easy game. It might even be more proved more difficult than Atletico Madrid. But anyway, that's disrespectful. But yeah, that's disrespectful. But like I hope we win, Sha. This is banana skin games. But anyway, guys, it was a nice conversation. You guys make sure to like and subscribe and also follow us on Instagram at the Five Aside.
We are cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Come on.